What's up, Duke fans? Welcome to another episode of Duke Blue Central. It's a fun one today, ladies and gents. Duke is victorious, even at PNC Arena against the NC State Wolfpack. It was a great game tonight. Duke ended up pulling away, winning this thing by 15. It was a closer game than that throughout. But in an arena where Duke has struggled so much in years past, just think back to that last year's game, where it was maybe one of the worst Duke basketball games I've ever watched on TV, in person, whatever. One of the worst games I've ever watched Duke play. To come back and get a win like this at this point in the season is a monster win for Duke. And all things seem to be going right for the Blue Devils right now, barring an injury to Caleb Foster. But that seems to have woken up a few members of the Duke bench, and we'll talk about that in this episode. Awesome, awesome game to watch. PNC Arena was rocking. This was NC State senior night, their last home game of the year, a game they were going to go all out, get every fan in the building that they could in hopes of pulling an upset and storming the court. That did not happen. No court stormers in PNC Arena because the Duke Blue Devils were just too good. They were too good for this NC State team, and it showed itself down the stretch. It even showed itself in the first half when Duke wasn't playing its best ball, and we still were able to maintain a lead over NC State. But let's just start there. First half of this game was an interesting one. Duke started this game shooting really poorly. NC State actually opened the game on a 9-0 run. I believe it got to 7-0, called a timeout. NC State increased it to 9-0. Duke responded, I think, going on a 10 or something, 11 run, 11-0 run, making the score 11-9. And from there, the game was on. And it was a tightly contested contest all the way until late, with about 5 minutes to go in the second half. But the story of the first half was really Duke's second chance points. Duke was not shooting the ball well at all in the first half. We shot 33% from the field, 12 for 36. And from three, it was even worse, 4 for 16, which makes 25%. For a team that's one of the best three-point shooting teams in the country. And we were getting open looks. This wasn't, I think, there were some shots that were contested, sure, but there were plenty of shots from guys like Jeremy Roach. Specifically, Jeremy Roach and Jared McCain had open threes, and they just missed them, and it's not something that they normally do. Jared was able to pick it up in the second half and make up for it. Jeremy Roach had a rough day shooting the ball from three, not rough everywhere else, but even he would tell you a lot of those shots he took in the first half and even throughout the game, he normally buries those. The type of sniper he's been from the outside this year, he normally drains those threes, and he wasn't able to get them down tonight. And Duke was still able to maintain a lead because of second chance points. And a lot of that was due to the contributions of Ryan Young in the first half and Sean Stewart in the first half. But really, Sean came alive in the second half, but including Mark Mitchell, too. Really, all of our big men fought so hard on the glass today. If I can pull up the numbers here. Besides, Kyle Filipowski had a rough night. We'll talk about that in a minute. But Mark Mitchell, 4 offensive rebounds, 2 defensive rebounds. Sean Stewart, 4 offensive rebounds, 1 defensive rebound. Ryan Young, again, 4 offensive rebound to 1 defensive rebound. That's 3 of our front court pieces finishing all of them with 4 offensive rebounds apiece. That is a massive contribution to the game. And you can tell by even just looking at the shot chart. If you look at the first half, Duke, like I said, went 12 for 36. NC State, who ended up being down by 3 at half, was 13 of 27. So we were able to shoot 9 more shots than they were just in that first half. Granted, we actually made one less because we weren't shooting that efficiently. But because of those second chance points, allowed us to hang around and even have a lead in the first half. And when Duke finally woke up, started playing their game and shooting better in the second half, it was all but a story. It was all but over then. I was watching this game with some friends of mine, and I felt really good after halftime. Just I don't know how, as a Duke fan, you couldn't have felt all that great after halftime. I realized we didn't play the best half, but so many things had gone wrong for Duke. So many things had gone right for State, and we still had a lead. And a lead where, you know, a guy hits a tough shot to even cut the lead to 3. It's a 5-point lead, really. hits a tough shot to cut it to three at the buzzer. But I mean, this was a game in which Kyle Filipowski didn't even score in the first half. Think about how significant that is. It's a game where, especially in the first half 3-point percentage was 25%. If I would have told you in the first half, Flip is going to get into a little bit of early foul trouble, he's not going to play a substantial amount of minutes, we're going to shoot the ball poorly, 25% from the outside, 33% from the field, I don't think you would have told me Duke would have the lead at half. But yeah, that's how it happened. And a big part of that was our effort on the glass. You know, I mention this all the time, but the big talk offseason was how Duke was going to be able to rebound. And it's games like this that really put the fear of Duke not being able to rebound to rest. The guards have had to work so hard throughout this season on team rebounding, and that is just an infectious attitude that has infected this team. Everybody goes after rebounds, guards, bigs. There's not a lot of people just going back to play defense or even running back after a shot on the offensive side of the ball. Because this team does not have a traditional monster rebounding big, no disrespect to Flip, obviously, the whole team has had to learn how to get rebounds more effectively and more efficiently. And that's kind of showing its head here in the latter part of the season, where even though you look and it's like Duke size-wise is not, at least in the front court, is not as size-imposing as some of the other top teams in the nation, but we rebound just as well or if not better than them because of the training that this team has had all year. Everybody has had to be good at rebounding. It's not just one guy. You know, we don't have a Lively or a Mark Williams that we know is going to get every rebound, every miss at the rim. The whole team has had to put in more effort for the boards this year, and that effort really shows dividends in a game like this where you're missing your shots. NC State, on the other hand, in the first half, and this was kind of a model for their whole game, but DJ Burns was pretty much their only consistent source of offense for the first half and even for the whole game. He finished the game with 27 points, 5 rebounds, even 4 assists. Did have 3 turnovers, but he also went 12 for 19 shooting. I think that's a night from him that they'll take. I do think letting him get the ball was part of Duke's defensive game plan. Now I'm sure, look, I mean, you never want a guy to drop 27 on you. But certainly, as this game flowed, the coach, and you can even tell by the coaching staff and how we never really doubled DJ Burns in this game. And the times we did double, he was smart enough to pass it out for an easy basket, and we stopped doing that. And I think the coaching staff and even the players on Duke were, especially as the lead, as this game went along and Duke felt more comfortable about their lead and the way that they were playing, to me, it was clear the strategy was we're going to let DJ Burns get his, but what we're not going to do is let DJ Horn get going from three and all these players just light it up from the outside. We're okay with Burns banging it down low, taking more time off the clock, and at max getting 2 points instead of sending doubles at him to kick out for wide-open three-point shooters. And I think that's something that they game-planned before the game, and especially as the second half rolled on and Duke was able to get a lead and not look back after about 10 minutes left in the game, they were very okay with Burns just getting his and taking chances with him versus letting the ball get to these outside shooters, which can make a game a lot closer than it needs to be. And look, I mean, Burns, I believe they said on the broadcast, to be honest, I haven't kept up with it as much, has not had a great few games here for NC State. There's a world in which, you know, if he misses a lot of these shots, you know, he had a career night tonight, obviously. I think he passed his career high in scoring. Awesome game for him. But there's a world in which, you know, he misses 2, 3, 4, 5 more of these shots, and Duke just runs away with this game. I mean, we still won by 15, but you know, there's a gamble in which, you know, when you play like that and you say, okay, we're going to let one of their good players just get his, but but really make an effort that nobody else can get it going, which is exactly what happened. I mean, DJ Horn, I'd say NC State's second best player, finished with 8 points, 4 for 8 shooting. He only shot the ball 8 times, only shot 1 3, which is crazy for him. They were obviously focused on him and the other shooters of NC State and were, I think, maybe not fine is the right word, but okay with DJ Burns just banging it down low in the post, knowing that we have enough firepower on offense to offset anything he's going to do. And NC State's not going to be able to get back into this game by 3-point shooting. So I thought this was a well-coached game by Shire. I liked that strategy. I'm always a fan of sometimes, I guess the idea of thinking that sometimes star players are so good that they're going to get theirs and there's nothing you can do to stop it. So it's best to just stop the bleeding everywhere else on the court and just let the star get what they're going to get and just hope and know that you have the talent on the other side of the ball to offset that. I think oftentimes too many teams focus on doubling and just trying to shut down a star versus trying to just guard everyone else and forcing them to essentially go to the same guy every play on offense, which a team is never going to do. DJ Burns is going to get tired. NC State was never just going to give him the ball on every possession of the entire game. It felt like for a minute they were, and it was working. But I like that ideology of defense, of just knowing that good players are going to get buckets almost whether you double them or not. Now, yes, there are things you can do to slow guys down, of course, and if you think you can slow a great guy down and make the other guys beat you, that's a whole other ideology where you say, okay, you know, let's say you're playing Carolina, you say, R.J. Davis is not going to beat us. Cormac Ryan, you're going to have to beat us, which is something Duke might run out there against Carolina. But in some instances, and I think it was perfect for this game, they, I think, had the mindset of, look, DJ Burns is a great player. He's going to get his. We're going to take our chance with him just making a bunch of shots. Hopefully he doesn't make them. He did make a lot of them tonight. But nobody else is getting anything. Nobody else is getting open looks. Nobody else is getting easy passes. Nobody else is getting easy outside shots. And the Duke defense was really effective in doing that today, holding NC State to only 64 points and making sure that DJ Burns, one other player, got to 10 points just barely. But DJ Burns was essentially the only player in double digits for the vast, vast majority of this game. Second half, Duke came out immediately and the tone was set. Jeremy Roach stole the ball from the NC State point guard for an easy transition layup to stretch the lead to 5. That play really set the tone defensively for Duke, and I feel like Duke really fed off of their defense in the second half. They were able to force more turnovers. They ended this game with 6 steals from 5 different players. Really active on the defensive side of the ball today, as it was showcased against Virginia. I think Duke's defense is only getting better. Of course, it hurts with the absence of Foster, but guys are really stepping up. And the offense just flowed better in the second half. I don't have too much analysis there, but the fact is Duke was just making shots it normally makes in the second half, whereas it wasn't in the first. And Flip was finally able to get a decent stat line, a decent game going. He only shot the ball 6 times this game for 9 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists. Then finished with one of the players with the steal as well. Very pedestrian stat line for Flip, but sometimes it's just not your night. And there's nothing wrong with that. He only played 22 minutes of this game, too. Sean Stewart actually had more minutes than Kyle Filipowski in this game. If you would have told any NC State fan Sean Stewart is going to get more minutes than Mark Mitchell and Kyle Filipowski, they would have felt really good about that. They did not tonight, and we'll talk about Sean in just a second. But the fact is that Duke was just hitting their shots in the second half where they weren't in the first. They finished in the second half shooting 20 for 32 shots compared to NC State's 14 for 29. Again, you could see the impact of second chance baskets there, second chance opportunities. We were able to get more shots than them, which typically is a good indication of which team is going to win the game. But that was 62%. We shot 33% from the field in the first half, 62% from the field in the second half, rounding out to 47%. This was actually NC State finished shooting 48%. From the field. They actually shot a better percentage than us, but we were able to just put up so many more shot opportunities. It didn't matter. 3-point percentage, the story was much of the same. We finished 5-for-14 in the second half, 35%, which is closer. I believe that's probably right at our season average as a team. But that brought our total percentage to 30% on the entire game, which is significantly lower than our average. But the second half, we shot like Duke normally shots, and that was enough to pull away. Jared McCain got it going. He didn't have a phenomenal first half, but once he saw the ball go through the basket a few times, he was money. Pulled up in some transition threes. Jared McCain was Jared McCain tonight. Now let's move on to some player highlights here. There are some specific guys I feel like have to be shouted out in this performance. And I got four guys to list. Those guys are Sean Stewart, Jared McCain, Jeremy Roach, and Tyrese Proctor. Let's start with Tyrese Proctor. I've been heaping a lot of praise on Tyrese Proctor over these last few games, and it's not going to stop tonight. Proctor had an awesome game, I thought. Shot 4-for-10, maybe not his best shooting split, but he was 3-for-8 on threes. You'll take that from him. And he shot it confidently. There were times he was even farther away from the basket, but his shot just looks so good. I feel like it's going in every time it leaves his hands. But as a facilitator, he was excellent tonight. Finished with a team-high 4 assists, 1 steal, and played excellent defense on Horn for NC State and the other NC State guards, not letting them get anything easy, any open outside threes from the perimeter. That's something Proctor has done so well in his career at Duke and doesn't get enough credit for. Even still, people talk about it. I still don't think he gets enough credit for his defensive prowess out there. He's had a few games where he's lapsed this year where you wouldn't expect. But, man, this game, what a great game for Tyrese. He also played 40 minutes in this game. I don't know if this is exact. This is ACC Network's box score. Sometimes they can, like, round up or down depending on how close they are. But he's reading as a 40-minute participant, and I don't remember him sitting down a lot. And that's awesome for him, and he looked to have energy at the end of the game. I think he's a kid who could play 40 minutes easy. I actually think depth – I don't want to say depth is overrated, but I think when you get the talent that Duke has, these guys are going to be in the NBA in a few years and play more minutes than they do at college. I have no fear about running some of these guys out for 35 minutes plus a game. Coach K was notorious for that. I mean, we'd get to the tournament and have like 7 guys at most. Some years it was 6. It was like there was 1 sub coming off the bench, and that was it. You were in. I've always liked having your best players on the court at all times and just training them so that they don't get tired. Duke's always been good at that, and I have Tyrese didn't look tired at all today. Great game from him. And he just continues his awesome kind of rebound from the middle of the year where it felt like he was getting lost a little bit on the team. Man, this team just looks so much better when Tyrese is facilitating like he did tonight and is aggressive like he did tonight. This is a game where he could have made a few more shots, and we're talking about him being the leading scorer or second leading scorer. But still, finishing with 11 and 4 rebounds as well is great for Tyrese, not even factoring in how excellent of a defender he is. Second guy, let's talk about Jared McCain. Jared McCain, like I said, picked it up really in the second half. He was another guy, played a lot of minutes, 34 minutes, shot 6-for-14, great. Ended up shooting 3-for-9 from 3, made a lot of those in the second half, maybe all of those in the second half. 5 rebounds, again, just... don't know how he gets that many rebounds at his size, but he does. Not too much to say here about this McJared performance. This is just the type of game that we almost expect from him night in and night out now. That's how good he's gotten, where it feels like 15 points is easily achievable for him each and every night, and sometimes significantly more when he's on shooting, which is a lot. So great for Jared. Next guy I want to talk about, well, let's see. Let's do probably who I think is the player of the game of this game is Jeremy Roach. As much as I'm going to talk about the bench contribution here in a minute, Jeremy Roach I still think was the player of this game. He went 9 for 17, so above 50% from the floor, all that while shooting 1 for 7 from three-point land. So a vast majority of his misses came from threes, and a lot of them were wide open that he normally buries. Man, if he hits a few more of these threes, I hate it for him because this is a, you know, he gets 6 more points. We're looking at a 27-point game for Jeremy Roach. And anyone watching the game would agree that at least 2 of his threes, he's been really knocking down those shots throughout the season, and they just weren't falling for him tonight. But this had the potential of being a career night for Jeremy Roach. And it's still, I mean, 21 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal. Pretty crazy stat line. But man, that guy, like, the kid's just steady. Like, there were times whenever it feels like the offense is bogging down, and I think this is an important point to make for March, there are going to be times where you're just not getting into a rhythm offensively. And it felt like tonight, when that happened, everybody on the court knew, just get the ball to Roach. He will make something happen, calm us down. Hey, we'll get back into our sets next play. And it's so important to have that in a tournament setting where things can go awry very quickly. Your game plan can change rapidly. Like Mike Tyson always said, you know, everybody has a plan until they get punched in the mouth, punched in the face. That can happen a lot in the tournament where you think a game is going to go one way. We've had it before as Duke fans. How many times have we said in the tournament, this team is not a good three-point shooting team, we don't have to worry about them? And then all of a sudden, we're in the middle of the game and they're shooting 45% from three and they've made 6 threes in a row to start the game. When things go awry in the tournament, it's important to have that steady captain that knows where to be, knows his spots he can shoot from, knows where he can get fouled. And Jeremy Roach is that guy. And just at the end of games, there's no one else I want the ball. That's who I want with the ball. If we're taking a shot, anything, I trust Jeremy in that moment. You know, there are a lot of guys I trust on this team. It doesn't have to be him. But just, you know, he's done it over and over again. We're down 1 in a tournament game. What play do I want? I'm going to be like 9 times out of 10, I'm calling a Jeremy Roach. Jeremy Roach, top of the key, Kyle Filipowski, high ball screen, and just trust Jeremy with whatever the rest happens. We did that a ton last year, and it worked really effectively for us. He's a great decision maker. He's a tough shot maker down low. He can get to the free throw line, and he makes free throws. And this year, he's added the outside shot. Great game from Jeremy Roach tonight. And the last guy I want to talk about is close to being the player of the game, man. Maybe the most important player of this game is Sean Stewart. Sean Stewart played 26 minutes tonight. Again, that was more than Flip and Mark Mitchell. Went 5 for 7 from the field, had 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 blocked shots, and 2 steals. Finished again with 12 points. Awesome game from Sean Stewart. Easily Sean Stewart's best and most effective game on the season. We've seen glimpses of what he can be. Tonight was a deeper glimpse as like, this is the Sean Stewart we will expect to have next year. I think Sean will come back, but this is the Sean Stewart we can expect to see once he reaches that potential on a night-in and night-out basis. A monster rebounder, still finished with 4 fouls, so clean that up a little bit, but just a monster rebounder. And tonight, his makes were not just dunks. I don't even know if he had a dunk tonight. Maybe he did, but a lot of his shots were floaters in the lane. He had one that was kind of like a little fade, like a hook fade shot off the backboard, I believe. He was making more difficult shots tonight, and he even cleaned it up at the free throw line, going 2 for 3, which is a good mark for him. His offense was on display tonight like it hasn't been in any game of the season thus far, and this is such an important sign for Duke going forward. You know, everybody was talking about Duke's lack of depth, maybe even before Caleb Foster was injured, but after, that's maybe been the biggest talking point I've seen on Twitter and things like that for what should you be worried about Duke come tournament time. It's the depth. And tonight, man, the depth was there in abundance with the amount. Sean played more minutes than two of our starters. TJ Power gave us another decent 11 minutes. He did miss some shots tonight. If he makes some more shots, we're talking about him better. But still, again, played a good defensive game. Shout out to TJ Power. Ryan Young played some critical minutes in the first half for us. He's a guy I'm not going to talk about as much as I probably should tonight. There were times in the first half he had to come in for Flip. He ended up with 5 rebounds, 4 of them offensive. Ryan Young was insane for us tonight. I think we finished the game with 17 bench points to NC State 7, who plays more guys than us. The depth was there, man, and I think with Sean, if Sean can give us 20 minutes on a given night, that's going to be more than enough to spell the times when Flip gets in foul trouble or, you know, Ryan Young not able to be in the game, or we need another big man, or even times he can also spell Mark Mitchell. If Mark Mitchell gets into foul trouble, he can play alongside Flip. Flip gets into foul trouble, he can play alongside Mark Mitchell at the small ball 5, or you let Mark play the 5. He's a versatile defender. He's just an athlete. He can guard pretty much every position as long as he doesn't foul, which is a concern. But he's also not a guy that I think is going to play 30-plus minutes in a game. So his fouling concerns, at least for this year, are not – it's not as concerning. You can pretty much just tell him, hey, go play free. Just don't foul every possession, and you should be fine. But that's just going to be huge for us going into the end of the year, especially if he can give us performances like this where he's just grabbing every loose ball and is able to even score some within the paint and even outside the paint. Awesome game for Sean Stewart, and one of the most important questions going forward for Duke is, does this continue throughout the rest of the season and postseason, this type of Sean Stewart play? Man, I think that's all I have to say for this one. This was an awesome game for Duke. This is just one that has loss written all over it. It's a game at NC State, a place where you historically play really bad. And it's right before a Carolina game. I know it's not until Saturday, so we've got some time to prepare. But, man, these are just the type of games that you can lose as a college program. And Duke didn't. It was a closer game than maybe the final score appeared. The last 4 minutes, with the help of some steals, Duke was able to extend the lead to 10 points and then even extended it more to 15 and was able to hold on to that throughout the duration of the last 5 or so minutes of the game. But awesome, awesome game for Duke. And we all know what's coming. It's Carolina, and then we're in win or go home territory. ACC tournament's not as serious. You want to get some good wins there. I'd say at least make the championship game to feel really good about your seeding and everything. And then after that, it's go time. That's when the real season starts. That's when the real expectations start to mount for this Duke team. And Duke feels ready. I mean, like, despite Caleb Foster being injured, I hope that – gosh, the way it looks, it really feels unlikely that we'll get him back even for the ACC tournament or even the first few games of the NCAA tournament. I don't know if we see Caleb Foster suit up again this year for Duke. Hoping I'm wrong. I mean, if we can get him back and kind of insert him. At this point, I think Proctor has earned his keep as a starting player, especially going into the tournament where experience really, really matters. But, man, if we can get Foster back on the bench, coming off of the bench to play with this kind of second unit with guys playing as well like TJ Power and Sean Stewart and Ryan Young, who's had great games in the past, the bench even gets deeper for Duke. Great game, awesome game. Always good to get a win against NC State, especially at PNC, where Duke has just had such a tough history. I don't know when the last time we've won. It just felt like such a long time. I think it was mainly because last year's loss just felt so awful. It was like one of the worst Duke games I've ever seen in my life, and it left a bad taste in my mouth all the way up until this year, where I was kind of chalking this game up as a loss already, just to be very honest with you. But yeah, pleasantly, not surprised, but I'm pleased at the result tonight. And it was a great time watching. Thank you so much, each and every one of you, for listening. Appreciate you. We're going to be back, of course, after the Carolina game. And then, man, we should really be able to break down ACC tournament predictions and where we're going to go from there. And it won't be long before we're talking about what seed and what region and how we feel about Duke, going into the NCAA tournament. Season's coming to an end very rapidly. Let's enjoy this last game of the regular season and hopefully end it with a win at Cameron versus the North Carolina Tar Heels. It's been great. Thanks to each and every one of you. Go Blue Devils.